sits on the 7-Eleven National Advisory Board for commercial operations. So she is an extremely well-vetted franchisee. 7-Eleven simply does not want any embarrassment, especially on their National Advisory Board. And so she has received a clean bill of health from that organization. A little bit of the history regarding the site itself. In 1992, the city of Los Angeles initiated a revocation procedure regarding the site. It was a 7-Eleven at the time.
Is something left?
Better make sure you get it now rather than wait.
Oh.
you're not going anywhere, are you?
Not towards Hollywood.
Yeah.
Bye, guys.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
The city initiated a revocation procedure regarding a business that was located there in 1992. The business was a 7-Eleven at the time. It was owned by a franchisee who did business with a company called the Southland Corporation, which was the owner of 7-Eleven at the time. Since that point in time, 7-Eleven has had two changes of ownership. Currently, 7-Eleven is held by a private equity firm. The private equity firm runs this business very, very differently from what was run previously. The franchisee took over the business in 2014. She opened a new 7-Eleven at the site in April of 2014. The opening was attended by the city council office and others in the community. It was very, very well received. The previous business was a shortstop market, which was a problem in the community, and everybody was very, very pleased to see it go, to be quite honest with you. A little bit about the franchise. 7-Eleven franchises are not automatically approved. They're thoroughly vetted with respect to location, with respect to customer base, with respect to
ownership.
Ownership, yeah, very much so. And so what 7-Eleven wanted to do was they wanted to make sure that this met with their requirements regarding proximity to the neighborhood, having a lot of neighborhood customers in the area. But some of the requirements that 7-Eleven wanted to see for the site involved they're requiring that 24-hour operation be provided for the site. When the site opened, it was subject to a condition, and the condition number 8 of the revocation indicated that the hours of operation shall be 6 a.m. to 1 a.m. Monday through Saturday and 6 a.m. to midnight on Sundays. And so simply without having to go through all of the reasons why it's good to operate 24 hours a day, 7-Eleven will simply just not allow this franchise to remain here without it.
And is this just for that site? Because I know, just to let everybody know that I did meet with Michael and also Kieran, just because Kieran couldn't make it tonight. So they suggested I meet with them and speak about this project. One of the things is sort of explaining is about Kieran herself. I mean, she talked a lot. I mean, at the first time I met her, she didn't really talk to on the zoning hearing.
At the zoning hearing.
But I was able to talk to her and see, you know, how involved she is. She does come out and goes to her each store that she owns, and if there is graffiti, she goes there and does
the painting herself. She owns this one, she owns another one, and she owns a third one. She owns the one on Bessemer. She's the operator on Bessemer here, and then another one.
The one on what was it, Armenta, on Venice?
I don't know.
Okay.
To be quite honest with you.
Okay.
But she's very hands-on. She spends time in the store. Her husband also works. Her husband actually works in this store. Okay. He's one of the managers in the store. She's the one that drives the stores every single day to make sure that graffiti's taken care of. She actually has a paint bucket in the back of her Porsche, believe it or not. I don't know if I would be doing that. But I've actually seen her paint, and she does that.
So the only thing she's asking for is just a change of hours?
Yeah. She's asking for the change of hours.
Yeah. Can you explain as far as condition, what was...
Condition number 8, which I read, which was the hours of operation for the involved convenience store shall be limited to Monday through Saturday, 6 a.m. to 1 a.m., Sunday, 6 a.m. to midnight. Part of the reason why this would benefit economically is she's trying to draw the neighborhood in. She's been successful in doing this. She's not doing it because she's particularly a great neighborhood person. It's because it makes more money to have neighbor involvement. Mm-hmm. Neighbors actually improve the store, spend more money. And so neighbors actually have indicated, and she knows this for a fact, people are addicted to 7-Eleven coffee. They have certain expectations. Mm-hmm. I have become addicted to 7-Eleven coffee. It actually has a good kick to it. And they start commuting to work about 4 o'clock in the morning, 4:30. And so the busy hours in the morning are like 4:30 through 7. So she would miss a lot of the customer base, and she wants to keep that customer base. In addition to that, the hospital across the street is a 24-hour hospital. We've had nurses and different employees who have come over to the store asking if it could be operated 24 hours a day. The rationale is they like to get out of the hospital and they walk over in groups. And so that's something that she would like to respond to. And without 7-Eleven places financial incentives to running 24 hours a day. If you don't, they place financial impediments in front of the store.
For each hour you're not in operation, they'll penalize you. Or they'll take your franchise away.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. So she has to do that. The other condition that she's asking to be modified is condition number 13. Condition number 13 is a uniformed security guard licensed by the state of California shall be on duty, including on the ownership, including the associated parking facilities inside outside the subject market between 9 p.m. and 1/2 hour after closing the subject market. One thing she's come to notice is that while the security guard is there from 9 o'clock until 30 minutes after closing, part of the problem is they don't have any active security for the rest of the day.
Right.
So if something does come up, they have to call Los Angeles Police Department directly. Mm-hmm. What they have done is they have trained their customer service representatives in the store to handle the security guard duties, so to speak. They put in soon after she opened up, they enhanced the lighting. It's a very, very well-lit parking lot and very well-lit area, which was a requirement here, but she actually placed stronger bulbs into the lighting canisters. And she also put up digital cameras. The digital cameras are extremely effective. She has all the DVR systems. She maintains them for 60 days. She told us today that a couple of weeks ago the LAPD wanted to see the tapes that they had on file. They saw that the tapes, they were able to arrest someone as a result of that. Do you have those pictures?
Yeah, I'm trying to see if I have it because
these are super high resolution.
Yeah, it's I don't know if I have it. I just been running around, but they're very vivid.
Okay, how many cameras?
There are four.
And the ovals actually depict the cameras. They cover the entire parking lot.
And the direction of the camera.
Correct.
And interior.
Interior is completely covered. They also have a screen in front of the cashier. So the cashier can actually look at the premises and look at everything. What they've done is, if there's any loitering outside, if there's any mischief outside, the cashier actually walks outside, tells the people to leave. If they don't leave, they call the police. And that's exactly what a security guard would do. We don't want a security guard to be heroic. We cannot have a security guard carry a gun. That's just a huge problem, a huge liability for the business. And so the employee essentially does the same thing as the security guard. And so she's asking herself the question, why do we need a security guard? And so what she'd like to suggest is a security service. Security service, PTS security service, is what she would employ. They've indicated that they would give a 5-minute response time in the area. They have cars. This is one of their main areas. Mm-hmm. They have the ability to detain. The security guard that we have on site does not have the ability to detain, just have people move along or call the police. And she feels that those security service would be a stronger deterrent.
Okay, is this a direct push the button security card?
It's a direct push the button, yeah.
Okay.
So
she wants to eliminate the security guard premises.
That's correct.
And she wants to employ a response time security
company. Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And those are the only two conditions.
And add security cameras, which is already there. But I also think there should be security cameras facing along Van Owen Street.
Then we have no problem putting in those security cameras. Uh-huh. The wiring's already in place. It's just a matter of punching a hole in the wall and putting them in.
Okay.
And we can put some more lighting along Van Owen also.
Yeah. Sure. Mm-hmm. I think one of the conditions as far as your revocation is to get a letter of from the LAPD.
That's correct. I've met with Erica Kirk. Mm-hmm. I met with Erica Kirk as well as Karen Hussein when we just started this process. Mm-hmm. Erica liked the idea of the security cameras, mm-hmm. wanted to see images. The images that we provided to you mm-hmm. Were the images that Erica had requested. She likes the location. She likes the coverage. Thinks it's really beneficial. The security cameras have actually chased a lot of people away from the store. Mm. They don't simply like the idea of a well-lit area with security cameras. We've also had an opportunity to meet with the council office. The council office was there at the grand opening. In addition to that, the council office, we've had a meeting with them subsequent to that. To walk through with what we were trying to do. They understand and they like the idea of a 7-Eleven. They think it's a huge upgrade from what was there. And I've already talked to you guys ad infinitum about 7-Eleven and their involvement and all that and their checks and balances and everything. So they're a good operation to have. And we also had an opportunity. I met with Officer Frost of the Vice Unit.
No.
There's Officer Fisher and Officer Frost. You'll never meet them because they go undercover.
No, I know Fisher.
Yeah. They stand. They're tall guys.
He looks like the Son of Anarchy and everything.
Yeah, he does.
They do.
Yeah.
Lots of tattoos. Mm-hmm. But they do a good job. And I met with both of them. I met with Sergeant Frost, specifically talked about this project. He liked the idea of a 7-Eleven here. I don't know if he's actually provided a letter yet.
Okay.
But we'll have to see.
The big question is what do we have there? Beer and wine?
No, there's
beer
no...
Beer and wine and distilled spirits. You're not permitted to sell singles already, and that's been the case.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's no change of alcohol sales. It's just,
no CUP.
Yeah. Right. It's just the hours of operation and okay. security. When I met with Michael, I suggest to provide us a letter from LAPD mm-hmm. to verify that that everything is...
To their liking.
Yeah, to their liking. And also as far as Valley Press, to get at least somebody from Valley Press in support of it as far as, you know, whether they're going to use it as far as, because I really don't know if there's any.
Oh, it is Van Owen. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We can get a couple customers to do that. I don't know how successful we would do with respect to Valley Press, mm-hmm. The actual administration putting something on
but their head. But you mentioned it could be like an employee.
That's what,
yeah.
We have employees coming over all the time mm-hmm. that actually compliment us.
Yeah.
So we can get a letter from an employee.
Uh-huh. So the thing is that they're having a hearing on this month, the 23rd, zoning hearing,
which caught us by surprise. This is revocation. This is a revocation unit, so they don't have to stick to the zoning administrator's schedule, even though we're coming before a zoning administrator. So they fast tracked this. We found out the scheduling date 1 day before the mailing took out was sent out, and that was about 2 weeks ago. And I had talked to Carino about it at that point in time. So this is being fast tracked. We'd like to stick to that schedule.
Yeah. So as far as the, you said you did posting, right? Or the mail posting? Is that what you're required to do? Like send mailing around a perimeter?
Exactly. It's 500 feet.
Exactly. Yeah, 500 feet. That's correct.
Radius.
Yeah. Okay. It would be good because if we're going to approve this, I would suggest in the contingency that it's provided to us before the meeting in order to get the letter of approval from us, from Plum.
Sure.
Because that's the only way we could get it.
So Valley Press and LAPD.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Mm-hmm. And we'll make the request of LAPD. I certainly can't twist their arms, but we can make the request.
Do you know anybody in that area, maybe a neighborhood watch group? See, I try to think about it. I don't have anybody in mind, you know, that. I mean, the only person I probably know would be Don Schultz, who lives somewhere.
I don't know where he lives.
Oh, okay. I know he lives in that area, but I don't know specifically where he lives. But I know he talks about that area a lot.
Well.
Yeah.
We talked to Erica Kirk about it and asked her direction, and she directed us to the Van Nuys Neighborhood Council.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So just a letter from Erica. And we'd like to see the letter you sent out with the 500-foot radius. And
sure, the city sends that out.
And set up a date, like sort of a deadline, before we.
Well, we got
a couple weeks.
No, we don't.
You got 10 days.
Not even ten days. If it's the 23rd,
it's 9 days. So it'd be.
It'll be a Monday. It'd be Monday. So
we have to get to you.
That's
next,
like about 12,
week,
12 days, I guess.
Next week, Monday at the latest. That's what I'd like to suggest.
So I think just get the letter to Carino. I don't think that we all have to see it.
Sure.
You know?
I mean, I could.
Yeah, just.
Forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as part of this agenda, I motion that what we talked about, providing a letter from LAPD.
And Valley Press or somebody that works at Valley Press.
That has more vetted in having you guys open. And if there's any possibility, maybe local resident, if you can.
That's what I was going to suggest, get a couple local residents. That are regular customers. Mm-hmm. We can do that.
Yeah, so at least you could provide us some sort of, proof.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's not going to be hard to do.
Okay. All right. Okay, that's great. Right. So I motion to do that, and then we'll provide it by.
One second, I guess.
Go ahead.
Well, go on.
All right, I'll second.
Okay. Okay, Jerry?
Yes?
Yes.
Yes?
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
So we'll contact, just update, you know, when we'll get letters and just forward to me, and then I'll forward to everybody, and then and have the letter.
Just out of curiosity, is it armed response or it's not armed?
It's armed response.
It is armed response. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Which helps out.
Okay. So, and also to add the condition that two cameras at front of Van Owen.
Two cameras on Van Owen.
Yeah, and lighting.
Punch one right there and punch one right there.
And lighting, because it's not any good without the lighting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If I'm mistaken, there's also a bus shelter right there, isn't there? I know there's a bus
shelter.
Yeah, a little
near the
bit.
Corner.
Yeah.
I think right here.
A little past that.
Yeah, a little bit.
Past the driveway. North of the driveway.
Yeah, I see it. I mean, I can guess where it's at.
Yeah. Okay. And I also want to. Carino's a really valuable member of the Neighbors Council.
Without question.
He puts out the time. He puts out the effort. He was really, really kind to take his personal time and meet with Karen Hussein. She wished she could be here this evening. Mm-hmm. Her schedule didn't permit, but she wanted to meet with Carino or a board member.
And
too.
I also suggested as a good gesture to show up at our general meeting.
And that's what she'll do. And that's what she'll
yeah,
do.
And just as a,
you know, a meet and greet is paramount.
Sure, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
We want to know who the people in our area are.
And,
you know,
and,
we want their involvement. We want their civic involvement.
Mm-hmm.
This is a two-way street.
And she does. She does. As part of 7-Eleven, she actually does contribute to parades, to other activities in the community. She throws her weight behind monies that go to. I mean, I think she had she threw her weight behind an access program to let underprivileged youth to use city pools and paid all the fees
this
year. Yeah,
that's what Paul did with his.
I know. Yeah.
So I mean, I did speak to Paul, you know, and just you know, just give a background on the 7-Eleven model and everything, and sort of what is vetted, because actually you have to do a lot of, I guess, homework and study and background checks.
Yeah.
As far as being an owner of a 7-Eleven, so it's not an easy process. It's probably, you know, going through government to
I know. You got to go to 7-Eleven school. And you got to pass before you, and then he'll take it away from you very quickly.
Yeah, and
too.
I know that Paul is part of the board that Kieran's on.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so he knows Kieran.
You know, you have a board member on the board.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Mm-hmm. And I did visit a couple times that area after hours, and it's very lighted. I mean,
okay.
And people.
That shopping center has really improved over the last couple years. I remember in the past, you used to have an adult video store there.
Oh, really?
Well, you know what's going to happen in that shopping center is because of the 7-Eleven, this has been my experience in watching these things go in. 7-Eleven goes in and starts driving the community in. There's more traffic. There's more, you know, positive traffic in the center. Other businesses are parasitic to 7-Eleven.
Mm-hmm.
You get Domino's and some of the franchisees that'll come in because they'll know it's a good deal and they'll make money there. It drives the problem tenants out. It drives the donut shop out, which is a problem. It'll drive the people upstairs out. The marijuana dispensary is gone. We wanted them gone.
Yeah.
They were doing stupid things. They were just leaving their cars behind our customers, parking right behind our customers.
They don't give a shit.
No,
I mean, pardon the language.
They're stoned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just.
I mean, there was a council member prior to you guys coming named Verouge.
Yeah.
And Verouge owned a smog check place and a hell of a mechanic. A hell of a mechanic. And he had this place on Van Nuys Boulevard just south of Van Owen.
It's by next to a head shop.
Yeah. It's head shop on one side, marijuana dispensary in the end cap. All right? So Verouge was paying, let's say, $1,200 for four stalls. And he had a big hunk of property there. All right, marijuana dispensary came in $5,600 for the end cap. $5,600 for the end cap. He's paying $1,200 for four stalls.
Hmm.
All right, so there's this basically a trash room at the end of his thing. They paid an additional $2,800 for the trash room.
So they could smoke.
God only knows what the hell they were doing
down
there.
It almost seems like
I pulled in to Verouge's to have a smog check, and got almost hit by three cars coming out of there, just blithered out of their minds, blithered. He was forced out of there by the property owner because he was only paying $1,200, and the guy saw the
members.
Heaven help us in 2016. You have no idea what's coming down the pike.
Oh, yeah. I do.
Sandy's bringing it up to
Dr. Pepper has a drink with
THC
in it.
I know.
K-Cups has a product that's going to be coming out. Everybody is jumping in because 2016 is when New York and California, which are large population centers.
The initiative on the ballot, the general ballot.
The stuff that we've seen with Colorado and we've seen with Washington State's nothing because they don't have the population.
Right.
The population centers are California and New York.
Well,
and
the capital, that you're gaining from, you know, selling it, that's probably huge.
But they don't know what the ramifications are going to be. They don't know what's, you know, I mean, some guy drinking a Dr. Pepper driving down the road.
And don't even know it's THC.
Well, they know.
kids will have access to it. It's just it's going to be legal.
Yeah.
And it's just it's
and at be this crazy. Point it looks like it's going to pass.
It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, it seems. Yeah,
they
because
have no idea.
It seems like Sandy's preparing that.
That no, we're in. We're in for I mean, I have a really dear friend that I've known for 3/4 of my life. All right, I met him when I was 17 years old. I'm in my late 60s now. This guy would try anything for any reason and then just cleaned up his act when he had a kid. Stop. That was it. The end. Sold, everything that he could possibly do. So his kid was an artist, was a brilliant kid. Met the wrong kind of people. God only knows what happened. Dead at 23 years old. Heroin overdose. He didn't use heroin. He was left-handed, and the needle was in his left arm. In an impossibility, unless you're ambidextrous. An impossibility. So, and brainstem snapped. In the autopsy, his brainstem had been snapped. So they killed him, and then filled his arm full of heroin. Oh. And this is what we're going to be facing. I'm not saying that marijuana is going to lead to heroin, but it has been, past history is a precursor to the future. And it's always been that way, that it's a stepping stone drug. And, there but for the grace of God goes a lot of us. I think the shit's going to hit the fan in this state.
You have no idea what's going to happen. Yeah. Absolutely no idea. Gavin Newsom's running around the state of California.
I know. Proactively.
In Fresno, in Northern California, in Mendocino, in Humboldt counties, in Del Norte County, trying to, understand this, inviting everybody under the tent. Corporations, they've invited all the corporations under the tent.
So they're inviting to... to be part of this.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Jump on the bandwagon. There's money to be made.
Oh, yeah.
But in the meantime, society goes to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah.
And well, we don't have the safeguards in place. We don't have the testing in place. Well, we don't know how.
Well, and also the education as well, too.
Yeah.
If you are addicted, then is there any way to go through rehabilitation?
And that's a good point, because it is an addictive substance.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be physically addictive like heroin. Heroin's the drug of the devil, but there is an addictive quality. And if you read about it, people will say that.
Smoking is addictive. I mean, anything. If you have an addictive personality, whether you're a gambler or porn or whatever,
sex addict,
you're screwed.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just screwed.
Yeah. So. Just don't do it.
No.
Okay.
Listen to Nancy Reagan.
Okay,
never did in the past, but I would now.
Thank you, Michael, and we'll contact each other. Okay, so last business is public comments. None?
None.
There's no public and announcement? None?
No.
But we did...
go with the motion, D.
Motion to include minutes of the Plum Committee Quorum.
Who's going to put them together?
I was thinking about Jerry wearing a nice fitting jeans, wearing lipstick, and have some caller Jerry, and do some shorthanded.
You want to just give him a...
No, I mean, I could do it.
All right.
I have no problem. So just to make sure that what's... been
Take care,
what's been done on the Plum is carried over toward and have everybody available.
Yeah. All right.
So motion to approve.
Seconded.
Okay, Jerry?
Maybe. Oh yes.
Oh, you don't want to wear lipstick?
No, we'll give that to somebody else on crazy enough.
Okay. Howard, you said yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Me yes, and it's unanimous, so we'll provide minutes, meaning that we have to approve it during the next quorum.
Yeah.
So we're doing what's What's right.
Yep.
Only thing is that we're going to be, well, we're going to just have a little bit more on the minute than they were.
Well, it's not going to be as bad as the general meeting.
No.
I'll right. guarantee you that.
Yeah.
But anyways, thank you, and meeting is adjourned.